A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud, Chulin Kuf Ches, Chulin 108a, pagination is 215. On the third line, we have Masnisin, a new Mishnah, which many would say is the heart of the Sugya regarding, or the meat of the Sugya, regarding the milk-meat interactions in the kosher kitchen. As we mentioned before, we will certainly consider what happens if non-kosher is introduced to a kosher setting, but a far more logical, probable, and easy to wrap your head around scenario is where both items are kosher. They were in the kosher kitchen legitimately. There's milk and there's meat. And everything's kosher, everything's good, and somehow something got mixed. The case of the Mishnah, which is quite classic, and we learned so much from this paradigm case, is tipas chalav shanafla al hachaticha, a drop of milk that fell on a piece. A piece here means that it's bisari, it's fleshik, meat. Doesn't necessarily have to be meat physically, it could be the potatoes that were cooked together with the meat. But something that's clearly meaty is protruding from the pot in which it is cooking, and it's the item of first level resistance when this drop of milk comes flying in to your cholent pot, let's say. This is the protruding piece upon which that milk lands. Now, one might think that this is totally outlandish. Makes no difference how this scenario happened, but it might make it a little bit easier to proceed if we have a case that we can think of. And the case that I like to give is the case of a person who's making a bottle for a baby, and it's formula, it's milchik. And he shakes the bottle to properly mix the powder with the water. And the result is he's holding the nipple tight. It shouldn't splatter all over. And then after he shakes, he leaves go of the nipple. And the contents under pressure causes a spurting forth of milchik, which if he's standing near the open cholent pot, is going to cause him a serious shaila. And that might as well be the scenario of the Mishnah, but again, it's a very global, generic halacha. Tipas cholav shenafla al hachaticha. There's a drop of milk that fell on the piece. Im yeshba benosein tam, the Mishnah says, if it gives flavor, ba'osa chaticha, in that piece, aser, the piece will become forbidden. Now, in this scenario, we are only forbidding the piece. Now, that's interesting because the piece is resting upon other pieces that are part of a greater stew, a greater mixture, and we're only discussing that outer piece. So there is a machlokas rishonim as to how outer this piece is. Is it resting above pieces that they themselves are out of the liquid? And it's really standing independently. Or is it somewhat submerged, somewhat involved? Where exactly is this piece that we give this ruling that the piece itself becomes forbidden, and not more? What we are dealing with, regardless of how we understand how submerged it is that somehow the Mishnah is talking about a case where the piece has its independence, and the Mishnah said if it gives taste, which to us, we don't have an expert taste it, we, a non-Jew, let's say, would taste it, We don't do that. We just work with 60. And if the amount that hit is less than 60 of the volume of the piece, then we assume that the milk spread throughout the piece and the piece has diluted it. There is no taste of the milk and it's permitted. Of course, if one sees the white still at the tip of this meat or potato, you would cut it off because you see a presence. But if it truly spread, it's diluted and it's fine. Let's continue the Mishnah and then we'll try to reflect a little bit on different cases. Nires HaKedera, if he mixed the pot immediately as it hits the piece, he notices the problem, grabs a ladle and starts mixing before the milk settles into that piece. It's still spreading. It's still in motion. And you mix the pot so that you're including a far greater volume of the stew to try to nullify the milk. Im yesh babanos in tambo se kedera oser. If it's giving taste within the pot, then it's forbidden. Otherwise, you may quite likely have saved yourself by diluting it into the greater whole. Now, what would happen if the piece was not mixed in right away? First, it became forbidden. It settled. And then you had this brilliant idea that you're going to mix it in. So then we have a situation known as chanan, which is chaticha na'ases nevela. The piece itself becomes forbidden. And then, if it gets mixed in, you're not just looking to nullify the original droplet of milk. You're actually going to have to nullify the entire piece of meat or potato, whatever it is, because the entire thing has become basar b'chalav, a mixture of milk and meat. The volume is going to be the volume of the piece rather than the volume of the droplet. So timing is actually very critical over here. And at each moment, there's going to be an assessment, and it depends how much milk, how much meat, how big the piece was, how big the stew is, and if the piece is mixed in, will there be a potential to nullify the entire piece? Of course, if the piece is recognizable, it has to be removed, but it could be that it will affect the stew. It could be that it will not affect the stew, depending on all of these different considerations. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.